chapter number 2 is where we're going to be. Luke chapter number 2. And we'll read a passage of Scripture and try to give you a thought that God has given to us and hopefully be a help and a blessing to somebody. Luke chapter number 2. And if you'd like to stand, you can do that. We'll begin our reading in verse number 21. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 21. And we'll read down through verse number 35 and see if we can't get where God wants us to get. How about that? Luke chapter 2 and verse number 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him unto the Lord. As it is written, the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. And offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And I love Simeon. He's a great Bible character. He's not here much, but I love this man. And the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled those things which were spoken of him. Let me pause for a moment and point something out. I'll not have time to point out in my sermon. Notice how the Holy Ghost instructs Luke to write verse number 33. And Joseph and his mother. He did not write his father and mother. I think you know why that is, don't you? And Simeon blessed them, verse 34, and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Father, help us for a moment, I pray. God, I pray the Holy Ghost would just use us in a way, God, that we cannot do in our own selves. Father, I pray that you'd speak to someone's heart. I pray that you'd work conviction in someone's life. God, use this message and these thoughts, I pray, in Jesus' name, and you can be seated. Those of you who were here last Sunday know that I began a new sermon series entitled The Voice of Bethlehem. In last week's sermon, we looked at the voice of proclamation. When you read Matthew and Luke, which give us the account of the birth of Jesus Christ, there will be several times where the angel Gabriel appears and offers to us a proclamation. He comes to Zechariah, he comes to Mary, he comes to Joseph, finally comes to a group of shepherds. And each time he appears, he brings us a new proclamation about this newborn king. When we left off last Sunday in Luke 2, we were rejoicing with the shepherds as they left Bethlehem, telling everybody what they had seen, what they had heard, and what had taken place. Now, it takes us 8 days to get from the departure of the shepherds to our text this morning. In the passage for us, we read how Mary and Joseph bring the Lord into the temple on 2 different occasions. They bring him 8 days after birth for the purpose of circumcision, and then 40 days after birth for the purpose of purification. While coming to the temple, it seems that the Lord meets 3 interesting characters. As he comes to the temple, he meets Moses, he meets Simeon, and he meets a lady by the name of Anna we did not read this morning. In each of these meetings, God teaches us a truth. It is almost like God makes 3 pronouncements in this portion of Scripture. 3 times God the Holy Ghost speaks from the pages of the Word of God, and 3 times he pronounces something to his people. He is teaching us and telling us in this passage of Scripture that Jesus Christ was more than just a babe in Bethlehem's manger. He was born for a purpose, and He was born with a purpose. Can I say something to us this morning just in passing? Can I say that if Christmas to you is just about putting up lights and decorating a tree and visiting family and exchanging gifts, then you have missed the purpose of Christmas. But can I also say that if Christmas to you is just a baby in a manger and that's all Christmas is to you, then you have also missed the purpose of Christmas. You see, Jesus was more than just a babe in Bethlehem's manger. He was a man that grew up in the power of God. He was a man that willingly sacrificed his life for the salvation of the entire world. Christmas brought us not just a baby. Christmas brought us a Savior. This morning I want us to look at the text and I want us to hear three pronouncements that are made. Three pronouncements that jump forth off the pages of the Scripture. I'm preaching this morning on the thought, the voice of pronouncement. The voice of pronouncement. I want you to see this. Number one, I see a pronouncement when I read this passage of Scripture. It is almost like God, when we read these pages, it's almost like God makes this pronouncement. He pronounces that man is a sinner. Man is a sinner is the first pronouncement. You say, where is that, preacher? It's in verse 21 and 22. The Bible says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him into Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. You see, when the shepherds leave in chapter number 2, verse number 20, everything is glorious and everything is wonderful. They are shouting, they are rejoicing because they have seen the Messiah. But when you go from verse number 20 down to verse number 22, just one verse difference, the tone of the text has changed. We are not shouting anymore in verse number 22. Instead, the parents of the Lord are bringing our Lord into the temple for the ritual of purification according to the law of Moses. When I thought about this passage of Scripture, I thought of this. Our Lord said in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 17, He said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law, but I am come to fulfill the law." This days, as by coming to the temple in verse number 21 and 22, 23, the Lord from 8 days old was fulfilling the law of Moses. You see, while it is true that Jesus came to deliver us from the penalty of the law, it is also true that He had to first fulfill the law in order to deliver us from its penalty. Jesus was coming to fulfill the law that you and I could not fulfill. If a man reads the law, he is left hopeless and he is left helpless. He cannot do what God has demanded for him to do. You understand that you're not good enough to get to heaven, right? There's a lot of people don't realize that. They'll say things like this, "Well, as long as my goods outweigh my bads, then I'll make it in." First of all, your goods are not going to outweigh your bads. And second of all, you don't have enough goods to get you in. Hey, you cannot fulfill the law of the Holy God. But Jesus came to fulfill the law that you could not fulfill. Amen. Let me say something in passing. Isn't it interesting that Jesus now is 8 days old in this text? He could not drive a car. He didn't have his driver's license yet. He couldn't even make decisions for himself. He was an 8-day-old baby. You know what that means? That means for him to fulfill the law and do what Moses said, it took a set of parents that were willing to also fulfill the law to do for him what he couldn't do for himself. You say, what's that got to do with anything? I just thought I'd throw this in. Parents, it is up to you to be obedient to the law of God so that your children can also one day be obedient to the law of God. You see, they are at an age right now, these young kids in this building, they are at an age where they cannot make decisions for themselves. They can't get up and come to church. They can't get up and come to Sunday school. They can't go, come on their own. It's going to take a set of parents, a set of grandparents, somebody that's willing to make the decision. I will serve God not only for myself, but I'm going to serve God for my family. And I will do what's right for mine so they'll know how to do right when they get to make the choice. Amen. That's not the message. That's for free. I just thought I'd throw it in. You see, they travel 8 days after birth for the purpose of circumcision. And then they travel 40 days later into the temple for Mary's purification. It is interesting that Luke is the only gospel writer that records these two trips to the temple. Matthew is the other writer that takes us to Bethlehem, but Matthew doesn't tell us about this temple visit. You see, Matthew wrote for the purpose of proclaiming Jesus, the King of Israel. Jesus, the one that would sit on the throne of David. He was the king in Matthew. But in Luke, he's not the king, he's the Son of Man. He is the one that came to this earth to build a bridge between God and man. He is the one that was the perfect man, that lived the perfect life, that could be touched with our feelings of our infirmities. He was the God-man. He was the one that made a way for us to get to God in the Gospel of Luke. Amen. And therefore, Luke takes us to the temple. Luke, on the other hand, tells us about this saving man. And he therefore shows us this, so that we can see that man is a sinner and man has to have a Savior. I see the price of sin in this passage of text. The purpose of Mary coming to the temple 40 days after birth was because Mary, according to the law, was unclean. If you read Leviticus chapter 12, you will discover that God teaches that after the birth of a man child, a woman was considered unclean for 40 days. If it was a female child, she was considered unclean almost twice as long. I don't know why that is, but she was considered unclean for over twice that length of time. But a man child, she was unclean for 40 days. You know what that means, that she was unclean? It means everything she touched was unclean. Everything she came in contact with was unclean. Everything she sat on was unclean. She was unclean for those 40 days. You know what else that means? It means for 40 days she couldn't go to the temple. She could not go to the place where God was. She had to stay at a distance. She had to stay away. She was unclean. And therefore, after 40 days, she would come to the temple, offer her sacrifice of purification, and be made clean again. In Mary being unclean, I see something bigger than just a woman fulfilling the law of Moses. I see a picture, a pronouncement of every man, every woman that is born into this world, because we are all an unclean thing. Do you understand that right in the middle of this Christmas story, God reminds us of the sin of mankind? Every one of us are born into the sin nature of Adam. Every one of us are born a sinner. And as such, everything we touch is corrupted. Everything we touch is messed up. Everything we touch is unholy. We are nothing more than sinners. Think about something with me. Because we are sinners, this earth is covered with thorns and covered with weeds, and it is unholy because we've put our hands on it. We face things like natural disasters and tragedies, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes. It's because this world has been touched by the sin of mankind. You walk out of this door this morning and you look across the street, and on that little hillside over there, you'll see headstone after headstone after headstone. Do you know why those headstones are in that cemetery across the street? They are there because we are sinners, and we are sinners in the eyes of God. For the wages of sin is death. We have touched this earth and we have made it sinful. That's why they're there. We are sinners. But more than that, you know what our sin has done? Our sin has separated us from God. You see, Mary couldn't go to the temple during those 40 days. She was unclean. She had to stay away from God. And our sin, like the sin of Mary, has left us unclean. It has left us at a distance from God. It has left us separated from the very God of this universe. In fact, if we don't do something about this sin, if we don't do something about this separation, it'll leave us in an eternity lost without God. It'll send us straight to a place called hell because we're sinners. I see sin's price. I see sin's price. Mary was a sinner. She had to stay away from God. But not only do I see sin's price, I see sin's picture. While it's true that the temple reminds us of the terribleness of sin, it also paints for us a wonderful picture of the deliverance of sin. I want you to think about something with me. The Bible says when he's 8 days old, Mary brings him into the temple for the purpose of circumcision. Now, I'm not going to get into all the details of circumcision. I think you understand what that means. You understand that. If you don't understand that, come see Brother Scott after service. He'll explain it all to you. But I think you all understand what that is. It is the cutting of the way of the flesh, right? Is that not what it is? And it pictures something bigger. It pictures us spiritually cutting away the flesh and being made into a relationship with God. One writer said this. He said, the circumcision of Christ at 8 days old was the very first suffering of Christ for the sin of mankind. You think about something with me. The very God of this universe chose to become a baby, and as becoming a baby at 8 days old, he suffered for the very first time as they cut that flesh away, and he suffered because you and I were sinners. Had there been no sin, there'd be no need for him to come. But he suffered for us as sinners as they cut away his flesh. But then 33 years later, this was a picture of what would happen. 33 years later, the Son of God would one more time sacrifice his flesh. He would one more time give his flesh. And there on Calvary, he would give himself a ransom. He would die for our sins, die on behalf of our sins, die to take our sins away. And he gave his flesh one more time so that you and I could be saved. You see, I see the picture. They cut that flesh away. And as they did so, it was a picture of what he would do many years later on the cross of Calvary. But not only that, think of this. Mary came at 40 days after birth for the purpose of purification. Again, if you read Leviticus chapter 12, you'll discover something. You'll discover that the woman came on 40 days after birth and she was to offer a sacrifice. Now, the Bible tells us that Mary offered 2 turtle doves. You know why she did that? Because she was poor. Moses allowed that 2 turtle doves. But you know what Moses said in Leviticus 12? What God really wanted you to bring, he wanted you to bring a lamb. Bring a lamb to the temple for the purpose of purification. And when you offer that lamb, God will take that uncleanness away from you. When that lamb sheds its blood, the unholiness will be removed from you. When that lamb dies, you can then have fellowship with God again. Hey, Mary couldn't offer a lamb. She was too poor to offer a lamb. She brought 2 turtle doves. I don't know if Mary realized it or not. She was called upon to offer a lamb. She couldn't bring a lamb in the form of a sacrifice. But when she walked into that temple that day, she was carrying a lamb in her arms. She was carrying the Lamb of God, and she was coming to offer purification sacrifice. And when she came, she held the one that would be the purification sacrifice, the one that would shed his blood, the one that would give his life, the one that would die a ransom for us so that we could be placed into a relationship with God. You see, Mary walks into the temple, and as she does so, Luke is giving us a reminder. It's a reminder that man is still a sinner. And man has to do something about his sin or die separated from God. Can I say to somebody this morning that Christmas is more than that baby in a manger? Christmas is God making a way for you to do something about your sins. You are a sinner by nature. You are a sinner by choice. And if you do not do something about your sin, if you do not get to the Lamb of God that shed His blood for the sins of the world, then you will die separated from God, and you will spend eternity separated from God. You will spend eternity in hell if it's not for the Lamb. I see that man is a sinner. Not only do I see man as a sinner, a pronouncement that man is a sinner, but I see a second pronouncement come forth. I see a pronouncement that tells us the means of salvation. The means of salvation. Look at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The obedience of the parents in coming to the temple opened us up an opportunity to meet a man that we would not have met otherwise. This man's name is Simeon. We don't know a lot about this man, but there are a few things we do know. We know that he was a righteous man. The Bible says that. He was a just man is what it says. There's very few men in the Bible that God calls righteous. In fact, think about something with me, please. Simeon was a man, right? That means Simeon was a sinner, for we're all born into sin. What was it that made Simeon righteous then? Was it that he was just a good guy? No, it was more than that. You know what it was that made Simeon righteous? Simeon was looking for the Messiah. In fact, he is looking for the Messiah so hard that God one time leaned up in his ear and said, I tell you what, Simeon, you won't even die before you see him. I'll let you see him before you die. Do you know how people got saved before Calvary? The same way they get saved after Calvary. By faith, that's how they got saved. Those people before Calvary looked forward toward Calvary. They said, one day God's going to send a Messiah. One day that Messiah is going to die for the sins of the world. I believe He is coming. You know how we get saved after Calvary? We come over on this side and say, I believe He has sent the Messiah. I believe He died on Calvary. I believe He's already come. That's how we get saved. It's faith on both sides of Calvary. And Simeon had something in his heart that said, I'm going to see that Messiah before I die. I'm looking for Him. I'm longing for Him. I want to see Him. And God, by faith, said, this is a righteous man. Amen. You know how you can be righteous in the eyes of God? You do the same thing Simeon did. You look to Calvary. He was a righteous man. He was a devoted man. That word devoted means cautious. It means he was consecrated. It means not only was he saved, but he was sanctified. The Bible tells us that he was a Spirit-led man. We know that. It says the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Ghost was telling him things. And according to the Scripture, the Holy Ghost said, you won't see death till you see the Messiah. We don't know how old Simeon is at this time. Most believe that Simeon was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 113 years old at this time. But this guy knew he wasn't dying. He knew that because he'd done heard a promise. I use my imagination a little bit when I read my Bible. Can you imagine one day this man is serving in the temple, just going about his daily business, going about his normal temple duties, probably walking around in the court of the temple, which was a massive area. Probably hundreds, maybe thousands of people in there on a normal day. He's just doing his thing, serving in his duties, doing what God's told him to do. And the Bible says he was led by the Spirit. We read that and we think the Holy Ghost just picked him up and floated him over there. It's not that way. He's doing his business. And God says something like this, Simeon, Simeon, you see that little couple over there with the baby? Why don't you go minister to them today? They may even have something to do with the Messiah. And in his heart, he didn't know what it was. In his heart, he didn't know what's going on. All he knew is the Holy Ghost said, go minister to that couple. And so Simeon goes over there, 113. He's probably shuffling his feet, not walking real good. And he gets over there to where Mary and Joseph are. And he says, excuse me, folks. My name's Simeon. I'm working in the temple this day. Now, I don't know why. I'm hoping you can help me on this. I'm hoping you can give me some information. But I was over here doing my thing, and God told me to come talk to you that you might be able to tell me something about the Messiah. Can you tell me something about, can you show me the Messiah? Can you imagine Mary looking down into her arms? And when Simeon wanted to know about the Messiah, you know what she did? She took that little baby and she put it in his arms. And when Simeon got that baby in his arms, something jumped up inside of him and said, this is him, this is him, this is him. And Simeon blessed the Lord and said, now I can die because I've seen him for myself. Amen. You know what? You know what? Simeon was promised by God that he would see the Lord's salvation before he died. You know what he saw? He saw a baby. You know why? Because salvation isn't what you do. Salvation isn't what you pray. Salvation isn't some spectacular thing that happens with fireworks. Salvation is a person, and it is the person of Jesus Christ. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life.
That's right. Amen.
And Simeon said, was promised he'd see salvation. And God showed him a baby. In a few years, men would handle the Messiah one more time. This time they would whip him and they would beat him and they would crucify him. But for now, at 40 days old, he's in the arms of somebody that loves him, somebody that cares for him. In response to seeing the Messiah, Simeon begins to sing. Did you know there are five Christmas songs in the Christmas story? There are five of them, and Simeon sings now in this passage of Scripture. I see Simeon's song. Simeon sings of worship. He blesses God because God has kept His promise. God had promised that He would send the Messiah. He would promise Simeon that he would see it before he died. And God had kept both of those promises. He had sent the Messiah. He had seen the Messiah. He worshiped God in song because of what he had seen. It's a song of worship. It's a song of salvation. Having seen the Lord's Christ, you know what Simeon says? Simeon holds that baby. He sees salvation. And he says, now your servant is ready to depart in peace. You know what he said? He said, I'm ready to die. Can I say that you better see salvation before you see death? Because it's too late after death. And salvation come to Simeon. He said, I've seen salvation. Now I'm ready to die. In fact, he said, this is the word he used, depart. You know what that word depart means? That word depart, if you study the definition of that word, it means this. It means to release a prisoner. Simeon said, I'm a prisoner in this flesh. I'm a prisoner in this old Adamic nature. I'm a prisoner in this man. But I've seen salvation, and I'm looking forward to the day the prison doors fly open and I get to escape this life. It means a ship that's ready to take sail. Boy, we sing that song, The Old Ship of Zion, don't we? You know what? One day that old ship's pulling out of port and she ain't ever coming back again. You better be ready to leave today because she's pulling out one day. It means this. It means a ship that's ready to sail. It means to take down a tent. That's what the word depart means. To take down a tent. You know what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? He said, we know that if the earthly house of this tabernacle tent were dissolved, we have a building of God in heaven not made by hands. He said, I'm going to take this tent down. And when I take this tent down, there's some better waiting for me over there. Finally, that word depart, it means to take the yoke or to take the burden off of a beast of burden, off of an ox. You know what Simeon said? At 113, he'd probably seen a lot and experienced a lot and done a lot, and he was probably tired. And he said, I've seen salvation. Now I know that I'm ready to die. This burden will be taken off of me. And aren't you glad, friend, that as the child of God, that you and I can rejoice, because one day we'll take this tent down. One day we'll move to a better place. This prisoner will be set free. This yoke of burden that is on our neck today will be released. And we will on that day be freer than we've ever been. He sung a song of worship. He sung a song of salvation. He sung a missionary song. He looked through time and space and he said, this child will be a light to the Gentiles. Not only do I see Simeon's song, I see Simeon's sermon. I got to hurry up and move. I see his sermon. At a certain point, Simeon stops singing and he starts preaching. He speaks to Mary and Joseph about this child. He says, this child will be a rejected stone in verse number 34. He said to Mary, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. This stone, this is what he's talking about here, fall and rising. He's talking about that stone that would be a stumbling stone. Many would stumble over him. Many would reject him. Many would not see him for who he was. But there would be a few who would fall under conviction and they would rise again to salvation. He would be a stone, he said. Not only would he be a stone, but he would be a sign. He said, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Hey, this word sign means a miracle. Jesus was certainly a miracle child. We know that one day he would perform miracles. In fact, John said he'd perform so many miracles you couldn't even write them all down. But Simeon wasn't saying this child will perform miracles. He was saying this child is a miracle. He was a miracle in that he was a revelation of the truth of God. Everything Jesus did was a miracle and it was a revelation of God. The interesting thing is that everything he did was a miracle and everything he did people seemed to ignore. His birth was a miracle and they ignored it. His works were a miracle and they said he did them in the name of Satan. His death was a miracle and they didn't accept it. His resurrection was a miracle and they lied about it. His soon coming is a miracle and we pretend like it's not going to happen. This child was a sign. He was a miracle child. He talked about the stone, the sign, then he talked about the sword. Now this part was just for Mary. He said, this child will be a sword that'll pierce your soul. Can you imagine? Mothers in this room, can you imagine being the mother of the Messiah? Can you imagine what Mary must have experienced, the sorrow that she had to feel all the days of her life? You say, well, wouldn't being the mother of the Messiah bring you joy? How much joy would it be for your son to stand up in front of a group of people and say he was the Messiah and you knew in your heart he was? And those people laugh at him. It would break your heart. To watch him perform miracles and them reject him. To see all the things he would do, and in spite of everything he was and how good he was, they wanted to kill him. Can you imagine standing at the foot of the cross and looking up at your son as he hung there, knowing that he had done nothing wrong, and watch your son die for a bunch of people that didn't want nothing to do with him? He said, this child will be a sword that pierces you. That word sword means a big sword. It means a sword like the kind of sword Goliath would carry, a big sword. And he said it would pierce you. That word pierces in the continual state means he'll pierce you over and over again. Mary suffered many things. I see a pronouncement, man is a sinner. I see a pronouncement, there's a means of salvation. And I'm done with this. I see a pronouncement. There's a motive for song. There's a motive for song. Verse 36, 37, 38 introduces us to a prophetess by the name of Anna. Again, she's a great age. The Bible says in verse 36, she's an older woman. And she comes into the temple. What about that? Just at the same time, Simeon's ministering to that baby. Anna had been promised the same thing. She'd get to see the Messiah. And just so happened, those of you all who believe in coincidence, she come in at the very time he was there. You don't believe that, do you? And Anna begins to worship God. She begins to praise God because of what she had seen. She praised God because I believe she knew the law was going to be fulfilled. Let me ask you a question. You maybe have never noticed this before. Why is it that all the people mentioned in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 are old? Think about it with me. Zacharias and Elizabeth, right? Old. Past the time of bearing children, old. Simeon, Anna, old. 113 years old, Simeon was. Everybody is old except for Mary and Joseph, which are very young. Could it be that Luke, through the Holy Spirit, is trying to tell us something? It's almost like he is, because he keeps pointing it out over and over how old these people were. That all these people were ready to die. They were ready to move on. Could it be that Luke was trying to paint us a picture that the Old Testament economy was old and it was ready to die and it was ready to move on, because something had been born, someone had been born. God was letting the Old Testament die because a New Testament was being born. It's interesting. Simeon and Anna, they don't mumble and grumble and are mad because they're about to die. Picture of the law, picture of the Old Testament. They rejoice because salvation has come. Boy, I'm glad I don't live under the law this morning. You say, I don't know if I've got anything to shout about. I didn't see you bring a goat to church with you this morning. And ma'am, don't look at your husband when I say that. You didn't bring a goat with you to church this morning. You didn't bring a lamb. You didn't bring turtle doves. You come in here with a lamb in your heart. You come saved on your way to heaven. I'm glad I don't live under the law. And I can shout because God is offering salvation freely. In fact, if I was living under the law, I couldn't be here this morning because the Gentiles were excluded. But I got included because of what baby did. The law was fulfilled, and she rejoiced because the law had been fulfilled. She rejoiced because the Lord had been found. This woman had moved into the temple like Simeon. She had waited for the appearance of Christ. Isn't it interesting that this faithful, worshiping woman shows up when she does? And when she sees the baby, she's moved by God that this is the Messiah. And Anna begins to do what Anna does best. She begins to worship God. We can worship God this morning because the Messiah has been found. I'm glad as a 14-year-old boy, February 23rd, 1993, I'm glad I found him. I'm glad he found me, I guess is probably the better way to say it. I'm glad he found me, because I wasn't even looking for him. I was just minding my own business, and there he was. And I'm glad that day he found me, and he saved me, and he birthed me into the family of God. I've got something to shout about today, because the Messiah has been found. I wish Brother Scott would come and get us a song. Let me say this morning that if you've not found him, today would be a good day. Amen. Today would be a good day. Can I say that this is a time we celebrate and this is a time we rejoice? Right in the midst of this time of celebration, Luke says, don't forget that you're a sinner. Don't forget that you're a sinner. And don't forget he's the Savior. I tell you, if I wasn't saved this morning, I'd come down to this altar and I'd ask God to save me. Amen. If I wasn't sure I was saved, I'd come make sure. Because you're not ready for death until you've seen the Lord's salvation. Amen. While they sing, if you need to come, you come.